Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Thursday, September 22nd. Today, as we get closer to the election, Colorado Sun political reporters Jesse Aaron Paul and Sandra Fish discuss spending, or lack thereof, in the Senate race. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors at Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy can help you find ways to keep your home or business running smoothly while reducing energy use and saving you money. Find everyday tips for using less energy and simple ways to manage your energy budget at xcelenergy.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Today, we take you back to September 22, 1963, when a ceremony in El Paso County dedicated one of Colorado's most impressive buildings, the Cadet Chapel. The Cadet Chapel at the United States Air Force Academy was once described by a critic as, quote, 17 aluminum tetrahedrons set on end to resemble both a small Gothic cathedral and a squadron of fighter planes ready to zoom into the stratosphere. Chicago architectural firm Skidmore, Owings & Merrill produced designs for the sleek, modern campus to reflect a military academy dedicated to new technology. Critics compared it negatively to the Army and Navy academies, suggesting that the plan suited Disneyland more than the armed forces. Today, the building has overcome such opposition and added room for other faiths, as it stands today as one of Colorado's most beloved inspirational structures. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun invites you to attend Ski Area Bosses with Outdoors reporter Jason Blevins virtually on October 6th. Hear from industry experts about lessons learned over the last few seasons, challenges about climate, housing, and much more. Visit coloradosun.com/events to register for free. Next, our feature story.
Hey Fish, how you doing today?
Great, Jesse. How are you?
Good. So you and I have been pretty busy as the election ticks closer. And I know one of the things that you and I have been tracking really closely is spending in the U.S. Senate race or the lack thereof. There's just really not been too much money spent there. And we've been waiting for some national groups to come in and spend on behalf of Republican candidate Joe O'Dea or the incumbent Democrat Michael Bennett. And it just hasn't happened. But then last night, you and I were at the Rockies game and got a tip that there was some spending happening, and it looks like you found more than a little spending that's been going on.
$2 million over just 2 weeks and only in the Denver market. So this super PAC that has supported Joe O'Dea in the primary, American Policy Fund, they're spending $2 million, again, over ads over 2 weeks. The ads started on Wednesday and will run through October 4th. They also have some ads scheduled for later in October, although not nearly as large a buy as this. And they're the first really big outside group to come in and try to influence the Senate contest.
Okay, so American Policy Fund, we've heard of them before. They were in the primary. They helped Joe O'Dea beat State Representative Ron Hanks. Who funds them? Can you give us a hint about that?
Thus far, they're funded by a lot of contractors and contracting companies, which is Joe O'Dea's business. And there's just several Colorado companies and individuals who've put in up to $200,000 each. Also, the Colorado Oil and Gas Association put in $100,000 at the end of June. But where their money is coming from now, we're not going to find out till October 15th when that group has to file with the Federal Election Commission again. So they've clearly gotten a lot more money from somewhere.
Right. So I think their spending's up to about $4 million across the cycle now. So that's a pretty big amount. And one of the things that I know you and I will be looking for is whether or not, you know, some of that funding came from some of those national Republican groups that haven't been playing in Colorado. So the National Republican Senatorial Committee or the Senate Leadership Fund, which is tied to Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader from the Republican from Kentucky. And there would be some interesting reasons why maybe the money would be funneled through this other super PAC. You know, Joe O'Dea is kind of running this outsider campaign. And so it'd be really easy for Democrats to attack him if all of a sudden Mitch McConnell's super PAC came in and spent a bunch of money on his behalf. Democrats would jump on that immediately. So we'll see in a few weeks where that money's coming from. But definitely interesting to see the spending ramp up and to see, you know, if Democrats respond with any kind of spending. We haven't really seen any Democratic spending.
It's been pretty limited. And reportedly, Democratic leader Chuck Schumer was going to give one of the Senate committees $500,000 to help Bennett with his TV advertising. But there's plenty of time left here. And, you know, it's worth mentioning that O'Day actually held a fundraising event in D.C. featuring Mitch McConnell on Monday.
Right. So he's trying to raise the money that he hasn't been given or helped out with from the NRSC or this other group, Mitch McConnell's PAC. So it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens if this kind of starts the money race. But it's starting way behind. In 2020, you and I reported, you know, it was like, what, $64 million by this point, and it was about $9 million. So huge gap in the funding so far.
It's way less this year. But right now, everybody's seeing all these ads on TV. And let me note that American Policy Fund is spending $150,000 for a single 30-second spot on the October 2nd Broncos Sunday night football game. So, Jesse, I understand you've been spending some time over at the Denver District Courthouse in sort of one of several disputes over where people running for office lives. Tell us about your day.
Yeah, political coverage has taken me to some interesting places, whether it's the state capitol or a ranch in Weld County, but sometimes it takes you to court. And today I spent about 7 hours, 8 hours in court listening to this case where some Republicans were trying to challenge the residency of Democratic state representative Kyle Mollica, who's running for a pretty critical state Senate seat up in the like Thornton Federal Heights area. And there's a rule in Colorado that you have to live in your state Senate district or state house district for a year before you run for it. Kyle Mollica registered to vote just a few days before that deadline back in 2021, moved into his mother's house from his family's house in North Glen into Federal Heights. And basically, Republicans alleged that he never really moved there and that he didn't meet this residency requirement. So last week, they filed a residency challenge against him. And the rules around this are kind of interesting, where you have to have a really fast court hearing and a judge decides. And I don't know if other reporters weren't tracking this, but I was the only person in the room for this day-long hearing where Mollica had to defend himself. There was a private investigator called on behalf of the Republicans as a witness. The Secretary of State's office testified. The judge had all kinds of questions. There was not a lot of clarity around the law since this hasn't happened in a while. And it was just this really interesting thing. We're going to get a ruling this evening. You and I are recording this Wednesday afternoon. So by the time this podcast runs, you know, hopefully we'll have a story up on the site. You'll have to go check out whatever happened. And, you know, it's really interesting, though, because you and I have been tracking this, right? I mean, there's a lot of residency challenges. And this is at least the third state lawmaker, maybe the fourth, whose residency has been questioned recently. And, you know, it's kind of become this political line of attack in an election year after last year's redistricting process, when a lot of people moved around to try and be in the right districts after the lines changed. But you've been through this before. You've been through Colorado politics. Have you seen kind of this animosity happen in previous years, or is this pretty unusual?
I think it's pretty unusual. And I feel like these residency challenges are the result of redistricting, where under the new law that took effect in 2021, they could not consider where politicians lived. And believe me, the two redistricting operations I'd seen before where a commission did the state legislature, they certainly did consider where those people lived and would put them, make sure they were living in a Senate district that they could run in or whatever. And so it's a very different thing. This is the only one that we know of that has been taken to district court. Tell us what's going on in these other two things.
And it's actually the only one that will be taken to district court, because there's a 5-day deadline under which people have to file this after the Secretary of State's office approves these. And so, you know, a few other residency challenges, they're going through the criminal system. We'll have some details on those cases in the Friday unaffiliated newsletter. So you have to subscribe or log on and open up your email to get the details on those. But you know, it's pretty rare. We haven't seen one of these happen in a few years. I think there was a school board candidate recently, but nothing in the state legislature. I've been covering politics for like 5 or 6 years. I've never seen anything like this. People I've talked to have said, you know, they can't remember recent memory, a lawmaker losing their position or being taken off the ballot because of a residency challenge. And again, like I mentioned, you know, it was kind of like a lot of unclear stuff going on in court today in terms of like the legal boundaries of this, because it just doesn't happen that often. And so the judge was looking for guidance from the attorneys in the case. And again, this is a state lawmaker who's not normally in court. This is a guy who's an ER nurse outside of his legislative job. So to see him on the stand was pretty interesting. And we'll see how it all shakes out. I have to look at ColoradoSun.com. Hopefully I won't be up all night chasing a court order, but we'll have a story as soon as we get the information on
that. And, you know, one of the things I think that's interesting about that court challenge is the law mentions your intention to live someplace. And I'm no lawyer, clearly, but it seems to me that intention does a lot of work there. So it's going to be interesting to see how the judge rules.
Yeah, well, I intend to get back to work now. Thanks so much for joining me today, Fish.
More later, Jesse. More later.
See you on the flip side, Fish.
Read more at ColoradoSun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Urban and suburban dwellers on the Front Range are realizing the days of unlimited expanses of green lawns are over. They suck down too much Colorado River water, and they're getting outlawed in some big cities. But according to a new study, xeriscaping with rocks and dirt increases the air temperature by an average of 5.4 degrees. The study from the Desert Research Institute and scientists at two Western universities says the solution for arid urban environments is a hybrid known as oasis landscaping, where shade trees or shrubs and small turf islands break up a drier, resource-friendly landscape. Teenagers in Colorado's child welfare system are 2.5 times more likely to get pregnant than other younger people. New research from the University of Colorado points to a reason why. 2/3 of 8th and 9th graders interviewed in Metro Denver who have been involved with the system say they have never received information about birth control. Almost half, however, said they knew how to get birth control if they needed it. Researchers found kids in the system have sex 2 years younger on average, and most of the teens interviewed were confident they could avoid sex if they wanted to. Political TV ad season is here, and it's a $45 million business in Colorado so far this year as candidates and political action committees try to reach voters before the November 8th election. Nearly 40% of the TV ad spending is in Colorado's new 8th Congressional District, a contest that could decide which party controls the U.S. House. Millions are also being spent in the governor's contest. And just this week, a committee supporting Republican U.S. Senate candidate Joe O'Dea launched a $2 million TV ad campaign attacking Democratic incumbent Michael Bennett. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to ColoradoSun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month. And if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.